Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown. How you doing, Josh?
Fantastic. It's an honor to be here tonight with you. Kenny, I've missed you.
Oh, I've missed you too, Joshua. And hopefully JT will be here in just a few minutes. He's having some technical difficulties, so we're hoping that works out. Imagine that, JT having some technical issues. It's been like a recurring theme lately. So hopefully we get this. Hopefully we get that worked out and him in here with us in just a few minutes. So if not, we'll catch him on the next episode. But Josh, how's your week been, buddy?
Oh, you know, pretty good. Pretty good. Just losing Democrat friends.
Ah,
they're dropping like flies. I've been blocked by more Democrats today than Mark Wohlers.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody today, yeah. and I'm quite confused by where if you know. So let me back up before we get there. About 20 years ago, 25 years ago, somewhere in that range, my dad ran for superintendent of Franklin County Schools, okay?
Okay.
He'd been an administrator his whole life, that kind of thing. A lot of other people were running. And every person in Franklin County ran as a Democrat. Because in Franklin County, you didn't get elected if you weren't a Southern Democrat. Mm-hmm. That's just what you were. People in our area, you voted Democrat.
Right.
You might not even vote Democrat on the national ticket, but locally, everyone was a Democrat. They didn't even have Republicans that ran because no one could get elected as a Republican in country Franklin County. Okay?
Yeah.
So fast forward.
Southern Democrat.
Fast forward.
They ought to teach a rich man to vote like that.
Yeah, right. Fast forward now. No one in Franklin County is running on a Democrat ticket. They're all running Republican because there's no way they could get elected as a Democrat to any local offices. Now here's the weird thing about that. I'm not even trying to make this like it is politics, so it is political, but this isn't about like your moral philosophy or whether you're right wing, left wing.
You're getting us some more bad reviews, Kenny.
You think so? I'm working on it here. Yeah. I'm trying. But like what I'm confused about is how in the world did we go from Southern Democrat 25 years ago where the entire county was Southern Democrat? Maybe because they were a little anti-North, you know, let's be 100% honest. That's probably where some of that Southern Democrat came from because Southern Democrats were, you know, the reason there was a Confederacy. But
right.
Then, you know, how did Democrats move so far left that the South said, nah, we out, dog. we out. We can't go with you. You know, we don't care about our heritage enough to stay Southern Democrat, you know? And look, these are people that won't change their flags from a rebel flag when the South's been dead for 100 years, 120 years. You know, they still want the Mississippi flag to have the Confederacy flag on it. And Georgia held out until, what was it, about 10 or 12 years ago? Maybe 15.
Well, if the woke Democrats of Sandy Springs knew what the flag on the current Georgia state flag was, they would cry.
They'd have a fit. Yeah, they don't know.
No, they have no idea. I'm not even going to tell them because if they knew, they would freak out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually more Confederate than the old flag was, but they don't know. They're like, oh, they changed it. Great. And
we're really crappy, apparently, at education in general.
Oh,
you know,
it's crazy, man. Today I saw a picture, Ken. I saw a picture of.
I bet you're going to say the one that I was thinking of. I think you posted it and I saw it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's one
the
of
regiment?
Many, right? Yeah.
The regiment?
The 54th Massachusetts Regiment. You know, they have this beautiful monument somewhere in, I think in DC, beautiful, huge monuments, been defaced obviously. And it's like graffitied with racists all over, you know, it was an all black Union regiment.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not good at math.
But they don't, you know, they don't know. They don't care.
We're all cowering in fear from a virus that kills less than 0.2% of people now. Mm-hmm. We're not good at math. Even talking about, like, social problems right now, we really, while there are very definite social problems that need to be talked about, whether it be race, whether it be socioeconomic demographics, there's a whole lot of different elements at play, but we can't have good conversations because we suck at math as Americans. And the fact that, you know, last year, I believe the stats were something like 1,209 black people were shot by cops. And what was mm-hmm. it? Like 9 of them were unarmed. So there's definitely a weird conversation that needs to be happening there, you know, but we're not good at math. Like, there's 30 million black people.
We're not good at math.
In America. Like, I'm not saying we don't need to march for justice and George Floyd should not be dead because cops suck and that was terrible.
Right.
And there should be some serious investigation and law change and a lot of stuff. Okay. And we should march in the streets for some things, but we also suck at math. I mean, let's just be 100% honest. We really, really suck at math. It's the same reason that everyone's crying about the mean old owners ruining baseball, because we mm-hmm. suck at math and we also suck at economics. So we've now established that we suck at teaching history. Mm-hmm. We suck at teaching math. Mm-hmm. We suck at teaching economics. And now there's a law in California that if you use the wrong pronoun for someone, you mm-hmm. can go to jail. So apparently we also suck at teaching science. So, like, the gist of this is we suck. This week, J.K. Rowling got canceled on Twitter because she said, hey, for all my lesbian friends out there, it's kind of important that girls are actually female girls and science kind of matters. And people lost their minds. I mean, lost their ever-loving minds.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, do you not realize that J.K. Rowling literally tried to make Harry Potter, Dumbledore gay? And, like, she was, like, the biggest advocate for gay rights. But the monster will eat you, Josh. Like, it will eat you because you can never be woke enough for people not to lose their ever-loving minds and destroy you because you're not perfect. I'm telling you, Josh, like, yeah. I'm on edge about this, and it drives me crazy because wokeism is, like, worse than Islam. I'm telling you, and I'm probably pissing everybody off with that.
It's not just, like, all these factually incorrect things that they say that we can make fun of. I mean, you can just go hop on YouTube and just YouTube search AOC. And, I mean, a plethora of historically stupid shit that she said. But it's also that one of the things that goes with that I've noticed is they're miserable. Like, they're so uptight and miserable people. And, I mean, I dude, seriously, like, it's so, you can't, they can't laugh at anything. They can't, they're so.
Hey, JT.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Me and Josh were already going a little crazy, so glad you were able to hop on the call here. We were talking about the insanity that is, first of all, America's inability to teach people about math and science and history economics, like how we suck at teaching people about these things because everyone's apparently outraged about kind of basic stuff. And so, Josh and I were talking about leftist people who have gone completely insane and how they canceled J.K. Rowling this week for standing up for lesbians and saying that women are, you know, actually a scientific category, not just a social construct. And people lost their ever-loving minds. Yeah.
Who the hell is J.K. Rowling?
She wrote the Harry Potter books.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right there. In which she made Dumbledore the wizard gay. You know.
Wait a second. I thought they were all gay. There's just one of them.
There's just one was openly gay.
You're telling me Harry Potter isn't gay?
No, not. Okay. No, he's definitely not. Gay. He had a girlfriend.
I get gay and British confused all the time. So I get those things.
I do too. Yeah. I do too, yeah.
Clearly he's gay. No, he just has manners. Oh, okay. My bad. My mistake.
They're the ones that did say faggot all the time, right? Like, like a bundle of sticks. No, no, not like gay people. Like, you know, like they smoke a fag. I know.
Like a fag, like a cigarette. Yeah. But yeah. Can I bum a fag? It's a weird. It's a weird thing to say.
Like if you're in American culture, it's very and that's strange. All you've ever heard. Like,
sir, we can't say that here.
Yeah.
No, I. Yeah, I. Okay, so she said that lesbians are what now?
So she made an argument on Twitter, and people lost their ever-loving minds because she said,
"I'm trying to find her real quick
for my lesbian friends." And yeah, Josh Mike can find it and give a more accurate thing here, but. I need to say something important for my lesbian friends, and that is that women is a scientific category because you have a vagina, is basically what she said. And she said, I love transgendered people. You're wonderful, but you're not a woman just because you choose to be a woman. And I thought, you know, that's scientific and makes a lot of sense. And instead, Twitter lost its ever-loving mind and now thinks Harry Potter should be canceled.
Because I get it when they say I identify as a woman. You know, that means, like, basically, I've always taken that as, you know, I don't know, but I've always taken that as them saying, well, I know I'm not a woman, but I just feel like a woman. Like, kind of like Shania Twain. So that's the way I've always thought. And like, in sports.
But apparently that's not what people think, you know. Like, it's like, JT, I should say, you know, I identify as a rap singer.
Oh,
you
this know? Is what
and
she
if
said.
I just start saying that, then boom. Yeah, oh, so what'd she say, Josh?
I think she said a few different things. I think she went on like this.
Oh, she did. She went on like a tirade. Yes, she said she'd had enough, pretty much. Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So one of the things she tweeted was, quote, if sex isn't real, there's no same-sex attraction. If sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth. At which point, apparently, she melted Twitter for saying that because people are stupid as shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Let's see. What else did she say? She said, I respect all trans people. At the same time, my life has been shaped by being a female. I do not believe it's hateful to say so.
Yeah. I mean, postmodernism has made the world insane. You know, the idea that nothing from tradition and science matters. It's just a matter of, you know, whatever you feel like is the truth. And you have your own personal truth.
She never deleted it. I thought she might have deleted it.
No, she stood up. She didn't delete it. Yeah. No. Well, at least she hadn't, at last I checked. So.
I have a question.
Fire away.
Why do we care? If R.L. Stine came out and was like, you know the little boy from the thing that came from the basement? Yeah, that boy is gay.
Yeah, like
why do we care? who cares? Exactly. Like, what does it matter? Like, I don't understand.
Because this is the state of wokeism in America, and what I mean by that is like. It becomes like this almost like right-wing weird saying to say wokeism. But what I mean by that is like you literally cannot – if you have any definition of what you consider reality, they get mad at you about it.
And I really think it's a religion.
They want to like crucify you for it, you know?
They do. They want to crucify you for it, and they don't want to forgive you. We were talking about this with our buddies in our little – you know, squad chat we got with John D. Howard and Jeff Donahue last week. You know, the idea that that no one, most people, for the most part, they don't want you to apologize for something. They just want to be mad at stuff. And I really think people just wait around. I think just waiting for stuff to get pissed off about. You know, it happened to me today or last night. I posted that article about the racetrack in Greensboro. Ace Speedway, they went viral over the weekend.
For those that might not have seen it.
There's this small little redneck track down in Greensboro called Ace Speedway. Well, like 2 weeks ago, they got in all this trouble because of Governor Roy Cooper's orders. They were only allowed to have like 50 people or something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had like 2,500, and so they got in all this trouble, and they got letters sent to them. The powers to be came in that next Monday and tried to basically shut them down. And then Friday night, this last Friday night, after they had seen, you know, many protests going on in the town they're in, they posted a sign underneath their permanent sign that said, "This is a peaceful protest to celebrate, you know, racial equality or something," right? And so then, of course, all the news media from Charlotte converged upon it. It went viral. They got all this free press, which is hilarious. Anyways, I found out about it like 2 days later, because I guess this happened Friday. Well, I posted this article on Facebook, and then like one of my woke friends that I know through another friend comments, and he's this guy that like, and I got all petty because I'm petty. And he's one of these guys that I have in my virtual life that they don't ever like engage with any of my mm-hmm. Brindley pictures, you know, like they don't. I've got a lot of cute baby pictures, you guys. OK, and they don't give those any attention. But
oh, they're adorable.
But if I post anything about COVID, they are like within 3 minutes. They are swiftly there to let me know that I am incorrect, right? And yeah. So Oren responded to this article, and the point of the article was basically the article was like, hey, if they're going to protest with 800 people, we're going to have people at our racetrack. You know, it had really nothing to do with like the death rate of COVID, but Oren responds. He goes something about like how there's been a spike of COVID in Burlington. You know, I wonder why. You know, and I said something stupid. I was like, according to the CDC, COVID can't go near racetracks, at which point he got uber serious and came back at me with like statistics, and I was like,
wait, Josh, and Nick, Josh, look, and I was this is perfect this is Nick Markakis is better than Bryce Harper all over again. this is you tweeting online that Nick Markakis is better than Bryce Harper, and everyone losing their ever loving minds because when you're woke, Josh, when you are like this woke personality that you think you have to be God and correct everyone. You think your mission is to be evangelical and spread the good news, the bad news of wokeism.
Yeah. So then I responded to that with I think I said, well, actually, Burlington is like 21 miles from Greensboro and COVID can't travel that far, or something stupid to that effect. At which point Oren posts a picture of Google Maps, and he's like, actually, it's 5 miles from the racetrack. And I was like, I disagree. And he's like, he's like,
that's your opinion, sir.
and then, okay. So at this point, I'm trying to paint a picture.
Okay, so now we're to Nick Markakis showing his batting average circle compared to Bryce Harper's batting average circle and ignoring the home run stat that you posted on the same page. Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
It's basically the same thing now that I think about it. That's hilarious. So at this point, Oren's wife sees it, and she's liking all of his comments to me. Like, she thinks he's owning me. So she's liking it. And then my neighbor Savannah, who's already unfriended me, but apparently I guess my shit was public. I didn't know that until last night. But
it's like Batman and Robin.
So Savannah, so they must have been all texting about me, like, this idiot, this Steve Bannon crazy right wing, blah 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 blah. You know.
Yeah.
And so then Savannah comments and was like, "Interesting that you think you know more about the racetrack when Oren literally lives there." You know. And I was like, I think I was like, she said, try using Google Maps. And I was like, what's Google Maps? And then,
Josh,
I was like,
I couldn't believe you missed the opportunity here, because I was reading through this and I couldn't believe that you missed the opportunity to say, hey, you want to go with me next Saturday night at tailgate? We'll go to the next race.
Right, yeah.
I'm off. Let's go protest. Black Lives Matter, so baby. Then, that's the racetrack.
So around this point, Nikki and like me and Nikki were sitting there watching some Jamie Oliver during all this, you know, on TV, and Nikki. Now, Nikki usually, Nikki's usually like, Josh, you need to stop. You're being an idiot. You're terrible. Stop. Please stop. Mm-hmm. You know, but Nikki was like, these people are being, this is ridiculous. And so Nikki comments, and I was like, it's almost like Nikki's my mom at times. I was like, I'm not being mean. I'm definitely trolling, but like, I'm not being malicious. She's like, I know. They're ridiculous. And so Nikki comments, and she's like, guys, you know he's trolling, right? At which point, Caitlin, Oren's wife, was like, "Well, that shouldn't matter. You know, there's no reason to be like this."
Yeah, it was,
or something like
it
that.
Was all passive aggressive, like something like as if that makes it any better was like what you. What,
it was something like that. As if this. As if that makes it this any better, right? And then I responded to her and I just said, you know, spread love, not germs. And then they all blocked me.
they all
blocked me. And then this morning, because I'm a freaking psychopath,
people wonder how Donald Trump got elected. I mean, like, seriously, you don't have to like Trump. You just have to hate everyone else. I saw somebody this week said there's 50 million unemployed people.
They're so miserable.
There's 50 million unemployed people in America. There's no way Donald Trump's getting reelected.
Yeah.
Unless the Democrats promote an old white guy that can't put together complete sentences and make their slogan defund the police. You know, like, seriously,
right? So then this morning, or this afternoon, actually, I was at lunch. And because I'm super petty, and honestly, like, I actually ended up getting triggered by them blocking me, because I was like, you know what? Wait a minute. They never like my Brinley pictures. They never like any of my awesome Brinley pictures, my videos.
They're not
actually
your friends, Josh.
They're not. As I'm realizing this, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start a petition. So I went to change.org. It took me 5 minutes. I didn't know you could make petitions really easily. Apparently,
you
can change. I didn't know it was this easy to change the world.
I've been waiting
to
make the Nick Markakis for Hall of Fame petition.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I hop on change.org and I made a petition to stop the COVID police. And I've got six signatures so far. I thought I was gonna only get three, but I got six. And anyway, so I posted that, and then Nikki gets home, and then I'm kind of, I was like, so Nikki, they blocked me. She's like, are you kidding me? They actually blocked you? I'm like, yeah, they blocked me on Facebook. She's like, oh my God. So then we're hanging out, watching some TV, waiting for us to podcast, and we're sitting there, and Nikki's like, pause the TV. I have got to read you this. I was like, what? And she reads me Oren's Facebook status from like 7 hours ago. And it's that I can't see because I'm blocked. It's this long, really like dramatic status about how he's just blocked someone for the first time ever because of their malicious, incendiary, inappropriate comments.
Are you sure he doesn't write for Tomahawk? for talking top, Josh.
So
come
then,
on.
So like I'm so I'm laughing. Nikki's actually mad, and I'm like, babe, don't be mad. I'm actually at this point. I'm like, I'm actually sorry. I don't mind. Trolling Markakis haters on Facebook or on Twitter. But I was like, these are like Savannah like lives next door. You know, I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, no, don't apologize. This is ridiculous. So she grabs her beer, gets up, walks out the front door, walks over to Savannah's, and lets her have it for like 30
Cusa
minutes.
Cusa women, baby.
Yeah, you can't. Right. The Cusa girl came out. And what's funny about Nikki gets mad, like legit mad, like once every 2 years, maybe, you know? But when it happens, it's the coolest thing ever because she turns into this black girl. Like Nikki's best friends are all black. Like if you went to our wedding, like her entire wedding parties, these big old hilarious black girls, and like Nikki turns into like, you know, Shaniqua when she gets mad, and it's hilarious. So anyways, that was my day.
Oh my God, man. Oh,
but all that to say, I was saying all that because like what I was saying is these people are just they're so uptight, and they're so unhappy, and they're so serious, and they're just waiting for to get mad at something, you know. And it's just interesting because I've noticed like my friends on the other side, who are often like my Christian friends, I got to give them credit, man. They're like, they've been so during this whole thing, and by thing I mean like this whole crazy 3 months we've had, right, with COVID and like this race rioting and stuff. Like I got like my Christian friends are like so happy and loving, and like they're just posting pictures of their dogs and like Bible verses, and they're just being really nice. And then my other friends who are atheist twat waffles are like the meanest people ever.
They're like what we used to call Christians, and there's still a lot of Christians like this, but they're like
they're seriously like
the Jerry Falwell level, like right wing, you're all gonna burn in hell because you're
a
homosexual.
Are, but in a different way.
Except instead of you being burning in hell because you're a homosexual, you burn in hell because you don't believe in COVID. Like that's seriously the way it is. And I like, Josh, am I a bad person? JT, you, I think you kind of take the same stance that I do on this, and that is, like, I got off Twitter this week because I am actually afraid to post anything because people will just take anything I say and twist it the wrong way. Like, if I say anything, it's going to go the wrong way. What do you think, JT?
Yeah, basically. Josh, credit to you. My first response to that guy would have been going, okay, boring. and that's where I just would have left it at that. Okay, boring. Just asking for it with that name. I don't know. I mean, yeah, at a certain point, man, I just quit giving a crap about what other people say. I've got, like, my uncle is very, he lives in New Jersey, and he's very liberal, very, and almost antagonistic on Facebook with posts about, derogatory towards people from the South, specifically Alabama, even though my sister lives in Alabama. You know, and it's one of those things where sometimes people are just looking for a fight and looking to be someone to disagree with them so they can drop all these facts they Wikipedia'd on them and copy and paste
And
you know, it's
and
like,
that's why I was like, the COVID police. That's why I like, it's like they are, you know, it's like
about COVID or, you know, if you aren't being sanctimonious enough about police brutality and you know, Black Lives Mattering and those kind of things, like, it's Josh almost as if being on the sidelines to these people is like a crime. Like I'm more like, look, hey, I don't really want to post those kind of things because that's not what I go on Facebook for.
Silence is violence, JT, don't you know? And I'm like, what? What? No. Violence is violence, you idiots. Like, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference in silence and violence.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing. You know?
I like, mainly have not posted anything on Facebook about how non-racist I am. Mainly because I'm not a racist, so I didn't really feel the need to prove anything to anybody.
Good plan, JT. Yeah.
So I really don't. I really don't care.
I've seen. This is what drives me crazy, JT and Josh. I've seen more white people apologize for being white in the last 2 weeks. Now listen, white people are messed up. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of white people with lots of problems. And if you've been wearing a KKK hood and you've been stupid and you've been like chanting, you know, racist terms at people, then yes, you should be apologizing. But you were literally born white. You have zero control over that. You cannot apologize for something you had zero control over. It's exactly the reason black people are marching in the streets is because they should not have to apologize for the color of their skin.
Right.
So stop it, white people. Stop being sanctimonious idiots. I'm sorry.
Yeah, stop apologizing.
I was gonna say that off the show.
I don't think they're going to stop. I don't think
they're not going to stop. You're right. They're not. Ugh. What drives me crazy, Josh, is the number of people that play up to it. Like, I know people on Twitter that are nothing like what they act like on Twitter. Like, on Twitter, they are woke. They are woke, man. They are liking all the statuses, they're doing all the things, but you actually know them, and you're like, oh yeah, they totally don't believe any of that. It's totally, it is 100% a show to get people's likes and to be supported, you know?
There's so much.
It's the new boobs pick.
Yeah,
on
there's
Twitter.
So much that gets posted just because you want to be, you want to get the likes and you want to be deemed like socially acceptable. Look, guys, I'm normal and I'm one of you. I don't like racism either. And everyone's like, yes, I knew it. I knew you hated racism. Cool. I knew you were cool. Yeah, man, I don't think you need to, come out and like, I don't feel it necessary to be like, hey guys, I'm against racism. Like, I think that's just,
you know what I do
setting,
this week?
You know,
I would normally never share this because it's not something I like go around. I don't tell people when I do stuff like this, but I think it's like a relevant point here. This week, I'm driving down the road. I drive by a gas station. I see a van broken down by the air pump. He's taking a tire off the van. Just so happens it's a black family. I turn in the gas station. I got a tire changer in the back of my truck. I hop out.
You beat him with the tire changer.
He did look at me kind of scared when I walked up with like the four-pronged tire changer. And I'm like, hey, man, do you need any help? And he's like, I just got it broke loose. We're good. I just got to put this one back on. And I'm like, I'll be happy to help you, man. And he's like, nah, I got it. So, like, but he thanked me, and I turned around and got in the truck and drove off. You know,
you didn't tell him you weren't racist first?
I didn't tell him I wasn't racist. I didn't say, hey, you're black.
Wow. Oh, you know, I would have been like, I just in the mood to help out a black guy. You know, I just,
yeah,
I feel right. It's really important this day and age for me to help black people, you know, as much as possible. Just so you know.
I like sat there then and had to think, did I stop because he's black? Like, I seriously had to think. And I was like, nah, I've done that before for other folks because they're white and there's broke down on the side of the road. It doesn't matter. There's just somebody broke down on the side of the road. You stop and help them if you can, as long as they don't.
I will say this, you know? Though. Like, if I come across a Polish family, I am going. I'm not even stopping. You know, I can't
or
stand
Italians.
Them. Yeah. Like, no, Italians. You're on your own. You're on your own.
Yeah.
See ya.
You know what's funny about since we're talking about this? Fun fact, us white people, actually, the only race we really hate, honestly, is other white people.
That's
because it's 100% true. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but like black people didn't give us Luke Bryan, Ford Georgia Line, Bryce Harper.
Or a six-week COVID quarantine.
Or a six-week COVID quarantine.
Although
or
that
Nancy
could
Pelosi.
Be Chinese people, I guess, if you really like traced it back far.
Oh,
but still, that's
careful.
That's
careful. But yeah. I was talking to Kent on the phone, cousin Kent on the phone earlier this week, and we were talking about this, and he was telling me how his little girl, and he posted a picture of them the other day. It's so cute. But his little girl, she's 5, and her best friend is a little black girl. And Kent's never had to tell his daughter that she's supposed to, you know, you know, like the black girl, despite you know, no matter what. Skin color, like Kent
Evan
hasn't
Lee's
even had
best
to,
friend at school, black girl. Yeah,
yeah. So no, Kent, no, no, Kent's no point is like Kent hasn't had to tell her that because you don't have to because Kent's like racism is actually taught. Like kids,
and if you don't teach it, then your kids don't really have it. Now here's the thing: the wokeism people will tell you though, Josh, is you are born with privilege, so therefore you're guilty. And you know this is what I recognize: wokeism has a point. It does. This is the point, Josh. We all suck. We all do. We're all screwed up. Yeah. I think Christianity kind of summarized this at one point and said, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the difference is, wokeism says, you all suck. You all should die. Christianity says, hey, you all suck, so Jesus died. You know, so there's a little difference here. Like, you know, wokeism, let's kill you because you aren't good enough. Jesus, okay, the logic's good, but I'll do it for you, you know? Anyway, like, I'm not trying to be hyper-Christian here, but it's a religion.
No,
a religion.
I get what you're saying, Ken. It's almost like they want to become good through their own works, you know, through their own...
Yes.
Like, we will continue to work hard at this. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Look, being against racism is a good thing.
But absolutely.
It's almost this mentality of we will continue to work hard at this and work hard and work hard until all the world's problems are gone. And
they won't be
one
gone.
Of the fundamental teachings of the Bible is this is a broken world. It's a sinful world. And nothing you can do through your own works is going to do anything to prevent that. And so I think that's when you're seeing the different mentality from Christians who have accepted the fact that, hey, I'm a sinner and I'm the worst sinner there is. So it doesn't surprise me when I see bad things happening, in other parts of the world. From a secular standpoint, everything in their mind is fixable. And if we just work really hard, we will all get along and hold hands and sing kumbaya, even though every civilization throughout the history of the world has had these problems. Racism is not an American issue. This is a human issue. This is a fundamental issue of being a person on this earth, because different breeds of different people have hated other breeds of people just because they are different than them throughout all time. This isn't just something that happened in Minneapolis 2 weeks ago. This has been going on in the Middle East for ages and ages and ages, and pretty much everywhere you've ever been. Hey, we don't like these people. Why? Because they are this kind of people. That's just something that's been a part of, you know, and been the root cause of pretty much every war that's ever happened.
You ever seen somebody that said, hey, I don't like Republicans because they're Republicans? Yeah.
I see it a lot, actually.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times. Now look. Look, this is not wokeism is not a left wing thing either. There's Trumpism that's just as woke. It's just in a different direction. That, like, all these people that are like, Trump's this wonderful savior of all mankind.
But I gotta say, even them, who of which many of them are so annoying. I mean, really,
they are.
And I'll troll them too, okay? But I gotta say, even for the most part, the most annoying, deplorable is actually happy. They're like,
that's true.
I love America. Like, Trump's awesome. Yeah. I love America. I want to have a beer and a margarita. Let's go to Myrtle Beach. Woo! Like that's a deplorable.
Play some Timmy Buffett.
You know, like it's. I mean, that's just kind of what I see.
I can see that. I think that that Trump in general. Like somebody was asking me today, like how did I was having a conversation. How did Trump get to be president? Okay, and I'm like, Trump himself isn't what got him elected. It's that he represents this idea of a backlash in American society to postmodernism, which is this idea that America's not good, that nothing matters from tradition. And Trump just said, let's keep America great. Let's make America great. He was a backlash to postmodernism. Doesn't mean he himself is. It means like the idea he represented was. I don't know that that's good. There's lots of things that postmodernism brings up that are interesting things to discuss. Postmodernism just takes everything too far because it says nothing matters. Nothing exists anymore except for the reality that I believe in. What's my truth? You know, my truth is all that matters in the world. Well, you know, I don't think the world works that way. Speaking of my truth, fellas, I think it's our truth that there's not going to be any baseball this season. I just got to be 100% honest. I don't think it's happening.
It ain't gonna happen.
The owners made another pitch today. Did you hear about it?
Was that the 76 games?
76 games.
75%.
But what they basically did was we'll give you like 75% of your money for 76 games. Now here's the funny part: it's basically the exact same amount of money that was offered in the 52 game season. They just said, you guys can pick how many games you want to play. You can play 77 or you can play 52. We don't really care. We're going to pay you the same amount of money either way. And players aren't real happy about that. And so I would say this probably seals the deal that there's not going to be any baseball.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. Screw them.
Because you got, I mean, come on. How annoying would it be to watch a baseball game? There's no high fiving, no spitting. They're sitting.
That would be stupid.
You know, 6 feet apart in the stands. I mean, it would just.
Although our buddy Blake had a great idea, Josh. He borrowed from your racetrack idea, and he said that we should just have 35,000 people show up at STP several times a week to protest, and we could have race discussion before the show. I mean, before the game starts, have somebody speak. Each
that
game,
is genius,
and wow. Then play some baseball with you know lots of different ethnicities on the field playing the game.
I'm not going to go to some sort of function where someone is going to have to get me to publicly say that B.J. Upton was a good baseball player because he was not very good and he sucks.
I was not ready for
he
that.
Sucks, and that's the bottom line. I don't care what his score is. He was not good. And you know what? His brother wasn't that good either. And Jason Hayward is supremely overrated. So call me a racist if you want. That's just how I feel. No, I mean, look, here's the deal. Even if they got it all together, like even if they had it all from the get-go.
But Fred McGriff was great.
Fred McGriff was outstanding. my buddy Barry, I ran into him the day we signed B.J. Upton. He was at my dad's bar. He's a Tampa Bay fan. He goes, you guys got ripped off. He's terrible. He called it day one. Even if baseball had it all together from the get-go, they've never had to share the stage with NBA playoffs and with, to a lesser extent, hockey. You know, the boys of summer, they've always had summer to themselves. They don't know what it's like to have to compete. So even if they got all their ducks in a row, they'd have to compete directly with other sports, which is going to hurt because usually you don't have any other options in July. So you're watching baseball. You know, a lot of people don't get really into baseball until the summer when there's no other competition around. Now, like, oh my gosh, you know how many fans are going to lose? Fans didn't have this option in 1994.
Yeah, man, you've been saying this all spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's unreal because now fans have so many other options at their fingertips of how to involve. Mm. Let's say you're a sports fan and you've got four favorite teams plus college. So that's four competitors basically in your conscience for for sports, for your fandom. You know how easy it is to take the percentage you were given to the Atlanta Braves or whoever your baseball team is and divide that up amongst the other teams and just kick them to the curb? It's going to be so easy. Back in 1994, you watched the Braves because that was all that was on TV and you had no other options. That's just what you did. Yeah. It was 1994. You didn't have the satellite packages mm-hmm. you have now. I don't think they understand, the players understand the gravity of the situation. I think they are
I'm curious. I'm curious because in 94, you got all your baseball consumption through television, right? There was no Twitter. There was no peripherals. You know what I mean? Like, you watched a game on TV was where you watched it. The news cycle in 1994 was usually about a week to 2 weeks long.
Right.
Whatever happened in the news happened for about 2 weeks, and then it would shift.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Now, the news cycle changes in, like, every 6 hours. Sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's that fast. Other times, 24 hours is, like, stretching it if anything stays in the news more than 24 hours. I kind of don't think this is going to hurt baseball the way people keep saying it is. Like, I realize that's kind of disagreeing with you, JT. I think now what I do agree with you is I think if they tried to play baseball with a weakened product, like Josh said, no high-fiving, this weird thing, because they're not going to play it like the KBO does. You know Major League Baseball is going to mess it up and go hyper-controlled, over-the-top, weirdo stuff. And then on top of that, tried to compete, like you're saying, JT, with like all these other sports at the same time, I think they would lose.
Yeah.
If you just cancel the entire year and start back next year, I think they actually come out and don't really lose that many fans. I mean, I got to be honest.
Do you think it's because it would be then a full calendar year and a half since you've seen any baseball?
Sure.
Not counting the 2 weeks of preseason that we got.
Right.
That people would just be starved for it and need something?
I think so. And also, they have a legitimate excuse as far as they can frame it. We were being safe. We wanted to keep the product safe. COVID, we didn't want our fans to be risked in this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Even if that's not the truth, they can paint that picture pretty well. And look, a year from now, all of us will have forgotten about this crap. I guarantee you. There'll be some other big news story that's blowing and going, and people will be like, ah, baseball. I'm so ready for baseball. You know, and like all these people, they're like, oh, it's going to do irreparable damage to the game. We'll all be tuned in. All the voices on Twitter that are freaking out about it will all watch just as many baseball games as they always did. And like, I'm not saying it won't hurt them. I just don't think it'll be like 1994. They've already lost what they lost in 94. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not America's game anymore. They are a subsect. And I don't think they risk losing their market position that they have right now. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Josh? Go ahead.
I think I saw Buster Olney tweet about this today, and I usually do not agree with anything old Buster says, but I think he's spot on in that this is going to bleed over totally into 2021. And it's going to be this annoying, weird, ugly thing next spring with the CBA BS. Possible. I don't think it's going to be like just this year and then winter and then like, you know, normal spring. I think it's going to be this weird, long free agent, Scott Boras situation. I really think it's going to do some damage, not like super long term, kind of like what you were saying. I do agree with that because that's a good point that you have, Kenny. People just, it's kind of like I said with the Astros. We were talking about the Astros this past winter, and I was saying that honestly, people just forget about it because
nobody will remember it. Yeah.
Right. That's just how people are. The news cycle's so fast.
That's the reason I said they should own it. They should just 100% own it.
Yeah.
Like, we're cheaters.
Yeah.
We won. We cheat better than you did. You know?
Like, yeah. Yeah. No, so I think long term, you know, if they're not, I don't know, if they halfway try, then baseball is going to be fine in a couple years. But man, I don't know.
I do think the CBA could ruin them if they're a bunch of unintelligent jerks on both sides. And look, I'm really not giving the owners a pass here. That's really not the point of this. Look, people keep saying the owners are nickel and diamond and they won't pay up this small amount that the players want and it's chump change and all this stuff. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. billionaires don't decide to not make billions. They just don't make that decision just because they're petty. Like that, I don't care what they're saying. Like Jeff Passan can tell me all day long it's owners being petty. I don't believe that. I don't believe owners refuse to make billions of dollars because they're petty. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense, you know. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm the one deceived. But I do. I hate Rob Manfred. I think he's terrible for baseball. That being said, I think he's a greedy SOB that will do whatever it takes to get every dime he possibly can, and I think he makes every decision about baseball for the owners to try to get them the most money they possibly can. And therefore, if not having a season gets them the most money, that's the decision he's going to push for. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just saying, let me be greedy and don't pay players. He's trying. He's saying, let me make the most money that we can possibly make, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm deceived.
I don't think it's going to be like baseball is crippled and can never come back from this. But I think you're going to see a lot of casual fans that are going to have their teams in their mind, their favorite teams. You know, we all do this subconsciously. Mm-hmm. We might have four favorite teams, but they're definitely ranked in our heads, one through four, as to who we like the best. There's going to be a shift in that when you can watch your favorite basketball team play for an NBA championship. Meanwhile, your favorite baseball team is sitting there and their players are in your mind are pouting and have their arms crossed demanding more money, you know? And so I think on a casual basis from, because there's baseball fans and they're going to be baseball fans regardless. And we know those kind of people, they love baseball. They go to 81 home games a year and that's fine. Those people probably won't be affected, but the casual fan that had their Braves ranked number two in their list of teams, all of a sudden their favorite basketball team has jumped up to number one because they got to watch them during a time where they desperately were wanting to watch sports. They had a hell of a lot of fun watching them make a playoff run.
No, JT.
And now the Braves are down at number four.
Because the Hawks are out, so they're not playing the NBA, so Atlanta's safe.
This is true. Atlanta is – unfortunately, yes, Atlanta is going to be safe from that. But one thing the NBA does have going for it is there's a ton of stars in the NBA. They do a great job because you're up close with these athletes. They do a great job of marketing their stars. And I think if you polled kids in America, as far as the most famous athletes, you'd go through seven or eight basketball players before you probably got to your first baseball player. And that may cause a problem. Before you get to Mike Trout, you're probably going through six or seven different or maybe Aaron Judge, somebody like that. But you're probably going to hear LeBron and people like that a lot more. You know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, those kind of guys. You're going to hear those names before you start getting to baseball. And that's been a problem for baseball for a long time. Hockey, on the other hand, no one knows who any hockey players are, so I don't think the hockey's much of a threat. But basketball may be, because it's a lot easier also for the youth of America to pick up a basketball than it is to get a bat and a ball and a glove and a helmet and batting gloves and cleats.
You can also play basketball by yourself. You can't play baseball by yourself.
Right, exactly. You can go into the driveway and shoot hoops any day
unless you're that guy in that Kenny Rogers song, and then you can play baseball. This is going to do it for today's episode of Knock on the Nation. Thanks for hanging out. We love you guys. If you would like to support the Nation, listen to what the announcer guy's about to say.
Thanks for listening to the Nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.